Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with your servant in Christ, your brother in the Lord, yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. And our number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin is area code 516-418-5978. And I always give out that number real early in the broadcast because I am hoping that one day, Jensen Franklin is going to go to sleep spineless and then miraculously wake up in the morning with a spine. And I'm praying that on that morning he would call the show. Again, the number for Jensen Franklin to call this broadcast, because I'm doing a series on how spiritually and biblically retarded Jensen Franklin is, and my claim is he's very retarded, very, very, very retarded, or another way of putting it is he's super-duper retarded based on Hebrews chapter 4. So the number here is area code 516-418-5978. Jensen, if you're listening, call in. I have some questions to ask you about your asinine sermon, Jezebel's Children. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you want the trilogy, a 3-volume series that I wrote on Jensen Franklin's asinine teaching, The Spirit of Python, if you want that trilogy, Volume 1 is Spirit of Python Dunce, Volume 2, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, and Volume 3, Spirit of Python Retard. I show how Jensen Franklin went from dunce to ignoramus to retard. I show how he completely and academically digressed. If you want that series, which is 450 pages, over 700 footnotes, my goodness, you're going to be blessed, because I dismantle, I take apart, I blow out of the water Jensen Franklin's silly, silly teaching on the spirit of Python, which was a New York Times bestseller. I have to say, the guy, well, when you have seven campus churches, you can get a lot of spiritually lobotomized people to buy your books. So if you're a member of Jensen Franklin's church and you would like the trilogy, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and you will get an ebook version. You would get an ebook version of the trilogy, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to come to realize that your pastor is a false teacher extraordinaire. If you want the outlines to this series, to this radio series, all you have to do again is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I will send you all the outlines to this wonderful teaching series that I'm doing. And in so doing what I'm doing, I'm proving that Jensen Franklin is super duper retarded. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, Jensen Franklin has been teaching he preached a sermon back in July of 2019. He preached a sermon called Jezebel's Children. I mean, this sermon, among all the other sermons that Jensen Franklin preaches on a consistent basis, really highlights how biblically stupid this man is. There's no other way of putting it. There's no nice way of putting it. Listen, he is biblically stupid. He is theologically stupid. This guy is stupid. He's stupid all the way around. There's no other way. Look, that's the word, stupid. Stupid. What other word can I use? That fits perfectly, stupid. I use the word dunce to kind of give you a picture of who Jensen Franklin is. I've used the word ignoramus. I used the word retard. And I'm not using them as pejoratives. I'm not using them as curse words. They're just describing the mental aptitude that this man has when it comes to the Bible. Listen, he has no understanding of the Bible and has no business being in the pulpit, has no business preaching the gospel, has no business talking about God, has no business talking about the church, nothing. No. Just listen, kick him out of the pulpit and, you know, let him drive a forklift. Let him stock shelves at Walmart. Let him do something like that. Let him go pick fruit on some farm. Let him drive a tractor trailer. You know, let him work in a restaurant, washing dishes, whatever. But preaching, no, he shouldn't be preaching. The guy is plumb stupid. Jensen, if you don't like what I'm saying, you can call here at area code 516-418-5978. Because that's what you are. You're biblically stupid. Biblically stupid. When this guy preaches, my goodness gracious. I mean, he is the retard that keeps on giving. I can do shows on this guy forever. I mean, the things that comes out of his mouth. If I was to go to a Sunday school class of little children and ask them questions on the Bible, they wouldn't give me the answers that Jensen Franklin gives me. I mean, there's some bright kids. They wouldn't give me the asinine answers that Jensen Franklin gives when he preaches. Now, my brothers and sisters, you know that I always encourage you as an educator, because that's what I am. I'm an educator. I always encourage you to put your thinking caps on. Even when you listen to this show, don't take anything that I say as gospel. You put me to the test the same way the Bereans put St. Paul to the test. You put your thinking caps on. You grab your Bible. You listen to this show, and you check my sources. I challenge you to vet me. I encourage you I encourage you to scrutinize everything that I say. I challenge you and find fault with it. You won't be able to. I quote all my sources, and I'm spot on when it comes to the Bible. So, as you know, I want to encourage you to put your thinking caps on, because this is a thinking man, thinking woman's show. If you don't want to think, then just listen. Don't listen to the program. I want you to think. God gave you a brain. Oh, but brother, you know, we have spiritual gifts and we have discernment. You know what? Use your brain. Use your brain, because the Bible is a book. The Bible is a book, and when you study the Bible, it requires that you read what the Bible says, that you understand what the Bible says, that you discern what the Bible says, and you come to an accurate understanding of what the Bible is saying. Not to just say amen to everything every preacher is saying. Amen, brother. You know, these preachers say the craziest things, and I just see people applauding and cheering and saying amen to some of the craziest things, and that's because these people have never been challenged to put their thinking caps on. All across America, each and every school day, little boys and girls, when they begin their day, are encouraged by their teachers to sing this little song. And I've incorporated it into the program because I want everybody who listens to this program to have their thinking caps on. So this is a school not too far. Well, I would say it's not too far from where Jensen Franklin is. It's a school in Georgia. It's called the Falcons Primary School. And here are the little boys and girls being led by their teachers to sing this little song. That if we incorporated the song as a praise and worship song, most pastors today would be kicked out of their churches, because people would be thinking rather than parroting and saying amen to everything these dopey pastors say. So here's the song. Was at assembly. This auditorium is filled with kids. It's filled with listen, first graders, second graders, third graders, and their teachers are telling them, listen, kids, today you're going to learn math and science and social studies and geography and English, and you're going to go to music class, and you're going to have to pick up your instruments and learn how to read notes. And the teacher's encouraging the kids, in order for them to have an advantageous school day, put your thinking caps on. And I think this is what we should be telling church members right before the sermon. Right before the sermon, we ought to be encouraging 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 60-year-olds to put the thinking caps on, and don't say amen to everything. Sit there and ponder and discern and listen carefully to the preacher. And before you say amen, make sure that what the preacher is saying lines up with the Bible. It's a shame. Listen, it's a crying shame that we have to tell adults in church to start thinking. Listen, you listen to this sermon by Jensen Franklin, and he's got an auditorium full of people applauding and saying amen to some of the dumbest things that has ever come out of a donkey's mouth. Now, if the preacher's a donkey and the people are applauding and cheering and I mean, they're loving everything that comes out of the donkey's mouth, what does that make the church members if the preacher is a donkey? The preacher's a donkey. I mean, he's a fool. The number here is area code 516-418-5978, Jensen. You can call in. Or you can have one of your sons call in, or maybe your son-in-law call in, or maybe one of your associate pastors call in. Somebody from over there. Somebody from Free Chapel Churches. Can you call in? Can you explain to me, can you explain to our radio audience, why is it that when your pastor is speaking donkey talk, when your pastor is hee-hawing in the pulpit, why you stand up and applaud and cheer and say amen, and you can't get enough of the stuff that comes out of this donkey's mouth? My goodness, have we been that dumbed down? Have we been that dumbed down? All right, saints, listen, turn to your outlines. As you know, this radio broadcast, which is a teaching broadcast, I afford you with outlines. And there are some series where if I'm going to do some heavy teaching, I want to afford you with outlines. And so I want you to go to your outlines. You can have these free of charge again. Free of charge. Free. Listen. I'm really giving stuff free. When you go to Free Chapel Church, it's not Free Chapel Church. It's Fleece Chapel Church. You got to put, listen, you got to remove the R from free, and you got to replace the R with an L. It's Fleece Chapel Church, okay? No, we give stuff away here for free. So I want you to go to your outlines, and I'm going to tell you the page. Just scroll down. When you get the email, it's a lengthy email. It's a lengthy attachment because you got to scroll all the way down, and I'm going to give you the page number, and we're in our 30s. I'm scrolling down myself, and here's the page number. And by the way, today's broadcast is part 12. This is part 12. And let me encourage you to listen to every show. Don't skip a show. Don't shortchange yourself. Well, I missed that show. I'm not going to listen to it. No, you need to listen to every show because every show, the teaching is interconnected. If you missed yesterday's show, you're going to be in trouble today. I'm going to tell you that much. All right, so now go down, scroll all the way down to page number. Here's the page number. Go down to page number 37, page number 37. On the top of the page, the heading should be in purple. The heading reads, Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones Broadcast. Contending for the Faith with Moses Henry Jones Broadcast. The broadcast number is broadcast number 228. This is part 12. And the broadcast date is 1-8, January the 8th, 2020. So, again, you should have a purple heading, and I color code the headings. This way you can follow me. We're on page number 34. And by the time we get through with this series, who knows, you might have 60 pages of outlines. But these outlines are critical because, again, I want you to think. I want you to focus on what's being said. I want you to read. I want you to see my sources, my academic sources. And as you will see, Jensen Franklin gives no academic sources to anything that he says because he's making stuff up on the spot. Okay? So now, you're on page 37. You're on page 37. That's where you ought to be, page 37. Purple heading on top, broadcast number 228. Part number 12, broadcast date 1-8-2020. If you're there, hold on, because I need to play now the portion of the sermon which we're listening to. We haven't listened to the whole sermon. And the reason why I play this audio is so that you can see that I'm not putting words in Jensen Franklin's mouth. This stuff is coming out of this donkey's mouth. These are his words, and we're forensically analyzing his sermon. We're breaking his sermon apart to show you how stupid the man is. And listen, if you're standing up, if you're a member of the Free Chapel Church, and you're standing up, whatever campus you belong to, if you're standing up and if you're applauding this, and if you're saying amen to it, and if you keep showing up because you can't get enough of Pastor Jensen Franklin, and every time he preaches, you're sitting at the edge of your seat, something is biblically wrong with your head. Something is biblically wrong with your mind. Because you shouldn't be applauding and saying amen and, you know, giving this guy high fives for the junk that he's preaching. This is pure junk. So here he is, and we are going to be breaking down his five pillars. I told you that his sermon is based on five pillars. And we've already demolished, we've already obliterated, we've already done away with pillar number one, and we are working our way through pillar number two. Today's broadcast and tomorrow we'll put an end to pillar number two, because I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but it needs to be beaten. We need to put every final nail in the coffin before we put pillar number two in the ground. So here is Jensen Franklin, and pillar number two has to do with this crazy, unfounded notion that when Jezebel died, when human Jezebel died, because she was a human being, she was married, this was a woman, she was married to a man named Ahab, who happened to be the king of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. She lived way back in the Old Testament, and when she died and the dogs ate her flesh, Jensen Franklin claims that her spirit transitioned from a human spirit existence into a fallen angel existence. That Jezebel then transitioned in the afterlife and she became a demon, a fallen angel, a wicked spirit. This is what he's teaching. But this, you cannot find any of this in the Bible. This is a fairy tale. What? This is a fable. This is a myth. This is a folk story. This is nonsense. This is donkey talk. So let's listen to Jensen Franklin as he lays this out before us once again. And I know it's a little tedious to listen to him. I know it must hurt your brain to listen to him, but we must, because I don't want to be accused of claiming that Jensen Franklin said certain things, and then people are going to say, well, he never said that. Or you're putting words in his mouth. Or you're saying that Pastor Franklin said that, but you misunderstood him. No. Here's the man. Here is Jensen Franklin. Now, we were hoping that he can show up in person today by calling in the broadcast, but since he has failed to do so, we have him on audio. Here is Jensen Franklin beginning his sermon, Jezebel's Children.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes, overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches, and it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself complements, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there's certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in. I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things. And if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts. A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you some characteristics.
So, again, he claims that Jezebel died. He doesn't argue that point. She died. He says she's been dead for 18 years. Now, again, that's, you know, he's speaking, so he meant to say 1800. But she's dead. But while she was dead, now she's a spirit. Now she's a fallen angel. Now she's a wicked entity that is floating, going from place to place. And at this point, Jesus finds Jezebel. He says, well, she's not a woman. She's really a spirit. No. Jesus called her a woman. John wrote down that she's a woman, but Jensen Franklin claims that she's a spirit. And then now, as a demonic spirit, as a fallen angel, Jezebel is also having children. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is just donkey talk. There's no biblical basis to any of this, so let's go to the outline. I know it's hard for you to listen to that every day, and I promise after tomorrow we will move on from that portion of the sermon. But remember, I am forensically analyzing his sermon, so that's why I have to play it so that we can discuss today's broadcast. All right, so we're looking at faulty interpretation pillar number two. Faulty interpretation pillar number two goes like this. Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebel's human spirit transitioned into a demonic existence. This is pillar number two, part six. Okay? In other words, I've done six. This will be my sixth show on this second pillar. All right? So this is faulty interpretation pillar number two. Faulty interpretation pillar number one went something like this. Justin Franklin claims that the woman that Jesus refers to in Revelation chapter 2 and Jesus calls Jezebel is not really a woman but a spirit. We destroyed that. We showed where the Greek word gune does not mean spirit, but it actually means a woman, a daughter. It could be a daughter. It could be a wife. It could be a mother. You can use the word gune for mother. You can use the word gune for widow. You can use the word gune for wife. You can use the word gune for daughter. It's a female. And Jesus called her a female, and the woman in the church of Thyatira was a female, although Jensen Franklin claims she's a spirit. Okay. Now, Jensen Franklin in his second pillar claims that when Jezebel died, when the wicked Jezebel was thrown out the window by the eunuchs, and was trampled underfoot by Jehu's horses, and was eaten by the dogs, by the scavenger dogs in Jezreel, in the city of Jezreel, that her spirit transitioned. It went from human spirit to demonic spirit. Now, he doesn't tell us how that happened. He doesn't give us any Bible verses. He just tells us this is what it is. And as you know, we've done so many shows now, and we showed you that that's impossible because, again, the Bible doesn't support that fable, that myth, that fairy tale that he's pushing, okay? And you just got to listen to all the other broadcasts So let's go to point number one, elemental theology tree. Now, this is basic theology. This is kindergarten theology. This is the ABCs of theology. There's a little tree. I used to use this little tree when I used to teach my church members elemental theology. Now, in this tree, you have several branches. This is the main theology tree. One branch is Christology, the doctrine of Christ. Another branch is pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Another branch is eschatology, the doctrine of last things. Another branch is soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Another branch is ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. Another branch is bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. Harmar theology, the doctrine of sin. Anthropology, the doctrine of man. Angelology, the doctrine of angels. And theology proper, the doctrine of God. Okay, so there you have all these. These are the branches to elemental theology. Now, when you look at that angelology branch, later on there are two offshoots. Because of the fall of Satan and good angels who rebelled against God and followed Satan, you have another branch that pops up out of that angelology branch, one branch being Satanology, the doctrine of Satan. And then there's another branch that comes out of the angelology branch, which is demonology, the doctrine of fallen angels. But on an elemental basis, we just have these branches right here. Okay, so now, looking, and remember, every Bible verse, every single Bible, and this is how I used to teach my members. When you read a single Bible verse, one of these theologies is in that Bible verse. Every time you read a Bible verse, and we used to do the exercise. Okay, let's read this scripture. Okay, what theologies do you find in this one Bible verse? And people say, oh, I see here when we used to use the scripture, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's, oh, I see there the doctrine of bibliology. Why the doctrine of bibliology, I would ask? Because it's referring to the Bible. All scripture is inspired. Oh, so you see, so every single Bible verse is pregnant with theology. And that's how you start to train your members. Don't get bamboozled. When somebody's reading something, make sure that they understand what they're reading. Make sure that they don't lack reading comprehension like Jensen Franklin lacks. Oh my goodness, does this guy not understand what he's reading? And not only does he not understand what he's reading, but then he puts things in there, which is called eisegeting. He's inserting things into the text that aren't even in the text. He's the Wizard of Oz when it comes to eisegeting. He just sticks things in there that aren't even there, okay? So now, when we look at this theology tree, I want to focus on three things when it comes to Jezebel. First of all, I want to focus on anthropology. Remember, saints, Jezebel, Ahab's wife, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, because Jezebel was a Sidonian princess. This Jezebel, who was the mother of Athaliah, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, this woman who was married, who was a daughter, who was a wife, and who was a mother, this woman, Jezebel, was a tripart human being. And we've already done shows on what is man. We've already looked at the tripart components of man, soul, body, and spirit. We know that Jezebel was a tripart human being who died. And when she died, she experienced the separation of her body, soul, and spirit. That's what happens when somebody dies. When you go to the funeral parlor and you look into the casket, there you can see a person's body, but what is absent, what is missing, what has become detached from that body is that soul and spirit. Okay, so now, that's anthropology. So Jezebel was never an angel. She's not a fallen angel. She's not one of the angels who rebelled with Satan in the beginning and became part of the demon class. No, that's not Jezebel. Jezebel was a human being who was made up of soul, body, and spirit. Okay, now let's move on to eschatology. At death, Jezebel's human soul and spirit went to Hades. What's Hades? Well, we already did shows on that. Hades is the intermediate abode of the wicked. That's where, listen, when a person dies and their body gets stuck in the ground, when they put somebody's body 6 feet under, that's where the body goes. But where is the soul and spirit deposited? Where does God, you see, human beings take the body and we put it in the grave based on what God said to Adam, from dust you are and from dust you have to return. That's what human beings do to the body. But God, who gave the soul and spirit, receives the soul and spirit at death. And then God takes that soul and spirit and he deposits it. He has two places, God has two places where he deposits a human soul and spirit. And one place is called Hades, which is the abode of the wicked, and heaven, which is the abode of the righteous. So if you were born again, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, when you die, like in the parable, the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was picked up by angels, and he was taken, he was carried off into Abraham's bosom, which is another term for heaven, another term for paradise. Meanwhile, the rich man found himself in hell. You read that in Luke chapter 16. The rich man found himself in hell, being in torment. So where is Jezebel's soul and spirit when Jezebel was thrown out the window, and when Jehu's horses trampled her body, and when the dogs ate her body and pooped her out later on? Where did God deposit Jezebel's soul and spirit? Well, he deposited her soul and spirit where he deposits the souls and spirit of the wicked. It's called Hades, a place of torment. A place of torment. That's what we call the intermediate place. Now, you know that there are three stages of human existence. When you study anthropology, three stages. There is a current state. Right now, I'm above ground. Right now, I'm alive. Right now, I'm 60 years old. Right now, I'm talking to you through this broadcast. But there will come a day when I will depart from this first stage of my existence and enter into my second stage. That happens when I die. When I die, my wife and my children will take my body, put it in the ground, but then God will receive my soul and spirit and put it in heaven. Okay, then when I die, when I give up the ghost, I enter the second stage of my existence known as the intermediate stage. I will enter my final stage of existence when God resurrects my body and unites my body with my soul and spirit. That's my final stage, the three stages of human existence. That's anthropology. Okay, so notice, right now, when it comes to eschatology, where did Jezebel go? What's her future? Well, Jezebel's future, right now, she's in Hades. She's in torment. Her soul and spirit are in torment. Her soul and spirit is not floating over the church of Thyatira, never floated in the church of Thyatira. Jezebel's spirit never had babies, never had little demons, as Jensen Franklin claims. That's pure nonsense. That's nonsense, utter nonsense. And that's why he won't call the broadcast. That's why every time I give out the number, area code 516-418-5978, he never calls. He never calls. So now, where is Jezebel right now? She's in the intermediate place. She's in Hades. And her future state, her eschatology, is that one day she will be resurrected. Her soul and spirit will be reunited with her body. How God is going to take all of those disintegrating bodies and put it, I don't know. But listen, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it. It's hard for you to wrap your head around it, but it's not hard for the Lord. He will take all those disintegrated bodies, reconstitute them as they once were, unite them to the soul, to the original soul and spirit, and they will stand before God in judgment. That's eschatology. Now, angelology. At no time did Jezebel's human soul and spirit become a fallen angel, a demoness, a wicked spirit. That's nonsense, but that's what Jensen Franklin is teaching. Okay, so let's go to point number two. Point number two, which is on page 38. Jensen Franklin's demonic version of Jezebel. He has a demonic version of Jezebel. Where did Jensen Franklin get the bizarre idea that at the moment of physical death, human Jezebel transitioned into a demonic existence? Where did he get that notion? Where did Jensen Franklin come up with that idea? Where did he get that? He's preaching it. He's preaching it. You can hear him preaching it. Jezebel died, but now she's a spirit. Now she, in fact, not only is she a spirit, but she's a sexy spirit. She's a prostitute spirit. She's getting pregnant. She's having sex with other demons. That's a fairy tale. Some demon out there is impregnating her because she's having babies. She's having little babies, and we have to kill her babies. You and I have to kill her babies, and we have to stop feeding. I didn't know that I was feeding baby demons. I didn't know you could feed baby demons, but that's part of his fairy tale. Where did he get this notion? Where did this retard? Where did this ignoramus? Where did this dunce? Where did this super stupid biblical man get this notion? Because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader, he doesn't read. I proved that when I wrote the trilogy on the Spirit of Python. The man doesn't know how to crack. The one book he cracks open is the Bible. That's the only book. But then, other than that, he doesn't crack open any other books because there's no evidence that he cracks open any other books because he's a moron. Because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader, I attribute his stupid notions about Jezebel's afterlife, her angelic existence, on crazy coastal parroting. In other words, Jensen Franklin is like a parrot bird. He hears something and then, now, again, the parrot is only parroting. The parrot is only repeating. The parrot is only mimicking what he heard. But even though the parrot is speaking, and you can hear him speaking when he says Polly wants a cracker, or, you know, when the parrot says something else, you can hear the parrot very clear. I mean, the parrot is talking. But the parrot doesn't understand what it's saying because the parrot never cracked open a book. The parrot just picked up little phrases, little words, put them together, and then now is just parroting, okay? So Jensen Franklin is a moron. And he picked up this bizarre idea that Jezebel at death transitioned into a demonic spirit because he heard somebody else say it. He picked up this idiotic notion. He heard it. He copied it from other people who peddled this error. This, in fact, the fact that he does this all the time, the fact that he never cracks open a book, the fact that he makes his sermons based on little bits and pieces of erroneous information that he picks up, that makes him, in the biblical sense, it makes him a babbler. What is a babbler? What is a babbler? Okay. This is a definition I gave you yesterday. The Greek spermologos is found only in Acts 17:18. It came to be used as a noun signifying a crow or some other bird that was used to picking up seed, sperma, and lego to collect. Metaphorically, it came to be used of a man who picks up scraps of information. That's what Jensen Franklin does. He picks up a notion from this preacher. He picks up another notion from another preacher, and that's what he does. And then when he gets all of these different notions, he puts them all together, and that's what his sermons turn out to be. A bunch of what? Scraps of information and retailed secondhand information. Jensen Franklin is a plagiarist. He's a plagiarist. That's what he is. The Holy Spirit gives him nothing. He gets nothing from the Bible. All he does, he shows up on Sunday morning, and his sermons are a smorgasbord of error. This pastor over here in Texas preached error. That sounds good. Jensen Franklin takes a little bit from that. There's another pastor in Florida preaching error. Jensen Franklin hears it. He grabs it and makes it part of his sermon. That's what he does. Now, here's another Greek word for a babbler. Another Greek word is kenophonia. Kenophonia is translated babbling. babbling, from kenos, meaning empty, and phone, meaning sound. Signifying, kenophonia signifies empty discussions on useless topics or useless subjects. That's what this is. Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children, this notion that Jezebel, the fallen spirit, the wicked spirit, the demonic spirit can have babies. Listen, this is just empty discussion. This is just useless talk. This is a useless subject. Why? Because it's not based on any sound theology. You can't find it on the theology tree. This is just nonsense. Useless subjects. Listen, when Jensen Franklin wrote the book, The Spirit of Python, it was a useless subject. Why? Because the way he spun it in his book made no biblical sense. It wasn't founded on the Bible. He spinned a yarn. It was a useless subject. The book is useless. The theology contained in the book is useless. You can't use anything that he wrote in that book to help you fight and do spiritual warfare. You can't. Why? Because it's useless talk. For this reason, and the two scriptures there, 1 Timothy 6:20 and 2 Timothy 2:16. For this reason, Paul warned Timothy in both epistles to shun and avoid all such idle chatter. Indeed, Paul went beyond simple avoidance, urging Timothy to take a deliberate, watchful stand against listening to those who babble. One problem of idle chatter is that its poison spreads beyond the speaker and his listeners. Case in point, when Jensen Franklin first preached his sermon, Jezebel's Children, the only people receiving the poison were the members of his seven campus churches. Those were the only people who got the poison. But the moment that sermon was uploaded and put on YouTube, now it went beyond his original listeners. It went beyond the seven campus church members. It went beyond. So one problem with idle chatter, like Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children, is that its poison spreads beyond the speaker and his listeners, even to a wider circle of fellow Christians around them, with the end result that the faith of some believers may be corrupted. The theology, the biblical understanding of some believers may be corrupted, and people are buying into the lie that there is a spirit of Python who slowly slithers into one's life, that slowly squeezes himself around us, that slowly kills us. That nonsense. See, that corrupts people's faith. That corrupts sound theology. Okay. So what is Jensen Franklin? A babbler, one who traffics in kenophonia, one who's given over to babbling. That's Jensen Franklin. He picks up little ideas here and there, and then he puts that sermon. That's why when you listen to the sermon in its entirety, he's not sure about anything. That's why when he says, you know, Jezebel, it could be she's been dead 15 to 1800. He doesn't know. He's making it up as he goes along. He knows she's dead. He knows he's got that little bit of information. But as to when she died, what year she died, how long she's been dead, he can't tell you because he didn't pick up those pertinent pieces of information. He's a babbler. He just picks up little things here and there. He's a babbler. That's all he is. He's not a pastor. He's not a general of spiritual warfare. He's not a giant in the faith. He's a midget. He's a mental midget is what he is. All right. Let's go to point number three, banned Jewish fables. Banned Jewish fables. Paul, in writing to Titus, says this: don't give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn people from the truth. Okay. So I have two definitions here as to what is a fable. Two definitions, and one comes to us by the way of Richard Watson's Biblical and Theological Dictionary, and the other one comes to us by means of the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. So the first definition on what is a fable reads like this: fable, a fiction destitute of truth. That's what it is. Jensen Franklin's sermon, Jezebel's Children, is completely destitute of truth. It goes on to say, St. Paul exhorts Timothy and Titus to shun profane and Jewish fables, and he gives the scriptures, as having a tendency, these fables have a tendency to seduce men from the truth, to lead you astray from the truth. That comes from Watson's Theological and Biblical Dictionary. All right. Looking at the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary, its definition of a fable reads in the following manner. In the New Testament, fable is found as the translation of mythos, the Greek word for myth. In 1 Timothy 1:4, 1 Timothy 4:7, 2 Timothy 4:4, and in Titus 1:14, and in 2 Peter 1:6, that's where you will find this word fable. These are the five citations. These are the five scripture verses, four Pauline, one scripture citing Petrine, one from Peter, four from Paul. In 2 Peter 1:16, it has the general meaning of fiction, that is, a story having no connection with reality. Jensen Franklin's whole spiel on Jezebel's Children has no connection, none whatsoever, with reality. Now, yesterday I gave you some Jewish fables on the antediluvian patriarch we know as Enoch. You know Enoch. Enoch is a patriarch. He is one of those patriarchs who lived before the flood. He's an antediluvian patriarch. We cited him yesterday when we read Genesis chapter 5. We read the scriptures that gave us a little biography of Enoch. Then we saw that Jewish teachers who were into mysticism, listen, these people are just bizarre. They pretty much, the Jewish teachers of old who were teaching myths and fables are pretty much like the crazy costles we have in the church today and like the retard costles that we have in Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin is today to the church what the Jewish teachers were in Paul's day who were teaching fables. That's what he is. So now, we looked yesterday at some of the fables on Enoch. Now, there's not a lot on the life of Enoch. There's just a few verses, three or four verses on the life of Enoch, and they don't really give you all that much. But yet, the fables on Enoch and what happened to him when he was taken to heaven and how he went from human to angel, oh my goodness, there are books on that, books and books and books and books. They kept adding on, they kept elaborating, they kept making things up. And this is what's happened in the church today when it comes to Jezebel. Jensen Franklin and his crazy costal buddies have been making stuff up on Jezebel. They've been elaborating on Jezebel. The story keeps getting bigger and bigger by the day as to what Jezebel. I never knew Jezebel as a spirit could have children. I never knew that she was, as a demon, she was having a sexual intercourse. She was getting pregnant. I never knew that we could feed little baby demons, that we actually have a nursery in our churches for little babies. I never knew that until I heard Jensen Franklin's sermon on Jezebel's children, who are little demons, and how we feed them, and how now we need to kill little babies. We need to go out and kill these little baby demons. That's, you see how the story keeps growing, how the fairy tale keeps growing, how the myth keeps growing, how, because they keep elaborating, they keep adding on to all of this crazy story. All right, so now we want to look at some stories concerning Elijah. Because there are myths, there are Jewish myths on Elijah. Jewish myths that we should pay no attention to. But we're discussing them today because I want to show you that there's a pattern. I want to show you where Jensen Franklin got the idea where a human being can transition into an angel. How a human being can go from human existence to angelic existence, whether it be a fallen angel or whether it be a good angel. In the case of Enoch, when Enoch the human died and went to heaven, the Jewish myths turned him into a good angel. In fact, he's the greatest angel that God ever had. His name is Metatron, if you believe it, which we don't. Now, here the prophet Elijah also went from human to angel. But here's the crazy thing. The Jews teach that not only did Elijah go from human to angel, but in reality, they teach that Elijah was originally an angel who then became a human, who then, when he was translated to heaven, went back to being an angel. So he was first an angel who became a human, who then went to angelhood again. This is even more bizarre. So let's read. We want to read about the prophet Elijah after his translation to heaven becomes Zandophon. Sandophon, like sandal, and then fun. Sandophon, a top-ranking angel. This is what they teach. All right. And I have here all the citations. These are all Jewish encyclopedias. So again, my dear brothers and sisters, it's very easy to follow. Okay. So let's read. Elijah's miraculous deeds will be better understood if we remember that he had been an angel from the very first. Did you know that? Did you know, my dear brothers and sisters, that Elijah, the man we read about in the Bible, the prophet Elijah, the guy who did who challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, the guy who called down fire from, did you know that he was an angel first? And then became a man. And then when he went back to heaven, went back to angelhood. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But if you read Jewish legends, if you read Jewish myths, if you read Jewish fables, which we are told to stay away from because they're dangerous. They're dangerous. They mislead people. If you read them, you'll come out, the prophet Elijah was first an angel. Then he begged God to go down to earth so that he can help men. And then once his work was done on earth, he went back to heaven. All right, let's read. Elijah's miraculous deeds will be better understood if we remember that he had been an angel from the very first, even before the end of his earthly career. When God was about to create man, Elijah said to him, Master of the world, if it be pleasing in thy eyes, I will descend to earth and make myself serviceable to the sons of men. Then God changed his angel name, and later, under Ahab, he permitted him to abide among men on earth that he might convert the world to the belief that the Lord is God. His mission fulfilled, God took him again to heaven and said to him, Be thou the guardian spirit of my children forever and spread the belief in me abroad in the whole world. His angel name is Sandophon, one of the greatest and mightiest of the fiery angel host. And where did I get that from? I got that from Lewis Ginsburg's Legends of the Jews. See, you can find this crazy stuff in legend books. Jewish legend books. All right, let's go to the second one. Jewish tradition. Notice what it says. Jewish tradition, but not the Bible itself. Notice that. Jewish tradition, my brothers and sisters. Oh, how you need to stay away from Jewish tradition. Jewish tradition, but not the Bible itself, has it that the prophet Elijah, who was taken into heaven in a fiery chariot, now resides in heaven as the angel Sandophon. Elijah Sandophon is one of the most popular angels in Jewish legend. No kidding. One legend is that he takes the prayers of the Jews and weaves them into crowns, which float through the air to wherever God is. Oh, God, look at these. These are the prayers of the Jewish people, and I've taken these prayers and I weave them. I'm a weaver. And I've turned them into crowns, and here, Lord, I am sending them to you so that you can wear these crowns of prayers. Is that bizarre? Well, doesn't it sound like the stuff that Jensen Franklin is pushing in the sermon? That a human being went from human and then became an angel? In this case, Elijah was a good man, a prophet, and then from a good prophet, he turned into a good angel. The same thing with Enoch. Enoch was a good man, a good patriarch. He loved the Lord, walked with God, and was no more, for God took him. So when God took him to heaven, then God turned him into an angel, the angel being Metatron. Okay? But notice, if you follow the same line of reasoning, here is Jezebel. She was wicked, so when she transitioned into the next life, she went from wicked human to wicked spirit. The same way Elijah, a good man, went from good man to good angel. Same idea. All right. And I encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, check my sources, because you're going to find my sources right out of these books. Didn't change anything. All right. Here's the next one on the bottom of page 39, the following quote on the bottom of page 39. Jewish myths and legends in the Talmud and in the Mizraim mention the names of a number of such angels. Akritriel is specially appointed to carry swiftly on his wings the words and innermost thoughts of men to the celestial regions and before the throne of God, while Sandophan, that's being Elijah, who surpasses in height all his heavenly colleagues, passes his time in weaving crowns of glory for his creator. For his creator. You got to change that E to an R. For his creator. All right. So that's one. Okay. So here's another book on Jewish. It comes out of the Talmud. Jewish myths and legends in the Talmud and in the Mizraim, in the teachings and the commentaries of the Jewish teachers and the rabbis all down through the ages. They teach on these many angels. And all these angels have different jobs to do. It so happens that Elijah now, Zandophan, spends all his time weaving crowns for God. Crowns which are the prayers, which are made out of the prayers of the saints. Okay. We're on page number 40 now, and let's read Zandophan angel. Zandophan angel. The name is Greek and means, Zandophan is Greek and means co-brother. But it does not occur in non-Jewish sources. In other words, you can only find Zandophan, you can only find this myth in Jewish sources. Well, why? Well, because Elijah is a Jewish hero. And that's why you will only find Zandophan in non-Jewish sources. You know, you're not going to find him. You're not going to find him in the Greek books. You're not going to find him in the Oriental books. You're going to find him only in Jewish sources. Zandophan figures prominently in the ancient mysticism of the divine chariot, the Merkava, where he is identified with the Orphan, the wheel of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1:15. Again, none of this is biblical, because when you read Ezekiel 1:15, it doesn't mention Zandophan and it doesn't mention Elijah. This is all nonsense. But again, this is part of the Jewish myth. He is said to stand, Zandophan is said to stand on the earth. Think about this. Today, the angel Zandophan stands on the earth, but his head reaches to the heavens, being higher than his fellow angels by a distance of 500 years' journey. In other words, if you were to travel from earth and keep traveling for another 500 years, that's how big Zandophan is. He's a huge angel. My goodness, he's a giant angel. If you shoot a rocket ship from Earth, Cape Canaveral, there in Florida, if you shoot a rocket into the air and you keep traveling for the next 500 years, that's how big Xenophon is. That's how long he is. Where do these people come up with this stuff? Well, listen. Where does Jensen Franklin come up with the stuff he comes up with? Because he elaborates. He makes stuff up. All right. Xenophon stands behind the divine chariot, weaving crowns of prayer for his maker. That's the Haggith, chapter 13, point B. The name may be due to his identification as the brother of Metatron. Remember, Greek Xenophon means co-brother. So he's a co-brother with Metatron. So this is why you always find that Enoch and Elijah are always paired together. Enoch and Elijah, many people believe that in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses that will come back are Enoch and Elijah, Metatron, and who else? Xenophon. Okay, they're co-brothers. All right, now let's go to the last citation. And these are all Jewish sources. You can check me out. These are all Jewish encyclopedias. You're not going to find any of this in the Bible. If you look for Xenophon in any Bible dictionary, you're not going to find it. Why? Because we who teach the Bible are not given over to myths and fables. You can only find this in Jewish books, of which I have a vast library. Okay, Xenophon, name of one of the most exalted angels. Ezekiel 1:15 was interpreted in the Babylonian Talmud, Haggith 13b, as referring to an angel who stood on earth while his head reaching up to the living creatures, the Hayat. This wheel is called Xenophon, who is said to stand so far above his colleagues, apparently Metatron, that a journey between them would take 500 years. His place is behind the Merkaba, the heavenly chariot, and he fashions crowns for his creator. The etymology of his name is explained probably correctly as Zen or Sin Adolphos, Sin Adolphos, confieri or colleague, namely of Metatron, mainly of who is he the colleague of, who is he the co-brother of, who is he the confieri of? He is the Sin Adolphos of Metatron. And I have here in bold, many Kabbalists declare that Xenophon was the angelic transfiguration of the prophet Elijah, just as Metatron was described in earlier sources as the transfiguration of Enoch. So you can see that this comes from many Kabbalists. Who are the Kabbalists? Well, they're the Jewish version of New Age teachers. That's who they are. That's in other words, if you want to know who a New Ager is among the Jews, just look for the Kabbalists, and that's what they're, New Age teaching. Now, what does James the Apostle say about, what does he say about Elijah? Let's read the Bible. Let's go to the Bible, and let's see what James says. So let's turn to James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Get your Bibles. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Let me read what the Bible says. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. It doesn't say he was an angel before who became a man who then became, no. Elijah, the man, was a man, an anthropos. An anthropos, if he's part of biblical anthropology, it means he was a tripart human. He had a soul, a body, and a spirit. Angels do not have bodies. Angels are ministering spirits. They only have spirits. They're only in spirit form. So it says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was flesh and blood. He has his ups and his downs. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. James says, listen, don't you follow those Jewish myths. And he's, listen, James was an apostle to the Jews. And he says, listen, Elijah was just a man. He wasn't Xandophon. He wasn't an angel before he was a man. And he didn't become an angel after he transitioned to heaven. No, he's a man of like passions as we were. So, my brothers and sisters, there is no human being who, when they die or when they transition to heaven, go into angelic existence. None. But you see, where did Jensen Franklin pick up this idea? Where did he invent it? Did he read it in any book? He doesn't have any books. He doesn't consult any books. He doesn't read any books. He's book allergic. Where did he get? He heard somewhere that Jezebel became a spirit, and he just ran with it. But we know the people who've been pushing that for years, that Jezebel is a spirit, we know where they got it from. They got it from Jewish myths, Jewish fables. They got it from Jewish teachers who teach crazy stuff. That's where they got it from. So in our conclusion, we must conclude, Scripture is clear. No human being transitions into angelhood after death. Upon death, each man, each woman enters the intermediate state, a paradise called heaven for the righteous, and a place of torment for the wicked called Hades. There in the intermediate place, the righteous and the wicked remain until their respective days of resurrection. And there you have it, saints. There's today's broadcast. And as you can see, we're pretty spot on. Listen, we're telling you where Jensen Franklin got this, and we can tell you he didn't get it from the Bible. He picked it up somewhere from some crazy teacher or a crazy group of teachers, and he's peddling what he heard. Not what he knows, not what he's read, not what he studied, but what he's heard. Why? Because Jensen Franklin is a babbler. Well, saints, that does it for today's show. Tune in tomorrow where I'm going to do away with pillar number 3. You don't want to miss the pillar number 2. You don't want to miss the conclusion to this second pillar, how we're finally going to put the last nail in that coffin. And then once we finish with pillar number 2 tomorrow, we will begin with pillar number 3 on Monday. All right, saints, love you much. Email me for the outlines at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. God bless you, and tell others about this series.